Good morning. I'm loving the chilly weather we have out there. It's perfect for chili. So we've been going through the past few weeks, we've been going through a series of why we do the things that we do in the church. And I found it very interesting. You know, I've grown up in the church, so everything that we do, you know, I understand the reason behind it. But, you know, I've often thought, what if I was a visitor? What if I was a guest? How would I think about things? You know, as we pass communion, would I think, man, this is going to be a long service if they have to pass out snacks? You know, a baptism, it can be kind of an interesting thing if you have no idea what's going on. So we've been taking the time to go through and say why we do the things that we do. And the opportunity came for me to come up and preach today. And I thought, as soon as it came up, I thought, hey, I should preach on why we do children's ministry and why we do youth ministry. And then Byron emailed me and he said, hey, you're preaching. Why don't you preach on why we do children's ministry and youth ministry? And I said, that is a brilliant idea. So today we're going to be talking about, you know, why we do children's ministry, why we do youth ministry. And I just wanted to be a little comfortable up here today, so I decided to wear my new youth ministry t-shirt. It says all the reasons why I do youth ministry. You know, I get to be a chaperone at lock-ins. I get to be a shoulder to cry on. It just says all the things that I do. And the last time I was up here, I made a joke about people wearing t-shirts, and I inadvertently hurt someone's feelings. Because you know that brain-mouth filter thing? Mine's defective for some reason. So I thought, you know, I might make up for it a little bit by wearing a t-shirt to preach. Plus, it's so much more comfortable than wearing a suit. So today we're going to be talking about children's ministry and youth ministry, why we do it, and why it's so important for us here. Let's take a moment to pray before we really dig into this. God, we thank you for being the God that you are, for being a God that is so good to us and loves us so much. And we pray that you be with us right now as we dig into your word, as we dig into the reasons behind why we do the things that we do, that you guide my words, that they're yours and not mine, that you guide our time together, that we can truly just dig into this and show our love for you. We thank you for all that you do. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. So we're going to be digging into this whole idea of children's ministry, and I thought the best place to start is why children and why youth? The reason is because children are important. Children are very important to us. We see in Mark chapter 10, we see Jesus say these words. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them, but the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. And then we have a similar interaction in Matthew chapter 18. And this is what it says in Matthew 18. It says, "About that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. Then he said, 'I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. But if you cause one of these little ones to trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea.'" See, these are two interactions that Jesus has with his disciples where he points out, guys, children are extremely important. He says, if you don't become like a child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And it's so important that if you mess up a child and that you cause them to sin and keep them from heaven, it's better for you to go tie a rock around your neck and jump into a lake. He takes children that seriously. Now, I think part of the reason he takes children that seriously is that children are just, they're amazing sponges. It's amazing to watch a child learning new things. And the things that we learn as children can sometimes be very hard to overcome later in life. You know those things that you learned as a child that you've thought your entire life, this is true because I learned it as a child, and then you grow up and that you find out that it was wrong. It takes a lot of work to counteract that. I think Jesus is making a very clear point here. You have got to take care of children because they are extremely important. So we take that stuff seriously. The children's curriculum that we use on Sunday morning, it's a very good curriculum. It's called the Gospel Project. It is designed that in 3 years it takes a kid from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And every story they tell the story from the Bible and they say, okay, this story relates to Jesus in this way. At the end of every lesson, it's this is how this story relates to what Jesus has done for us. Today, the kids are actually right now in there learning about Esther. And it's one of my favorite stories. The kids laugh at me because every week I'm like, this is one of my favorite Bible stories because they're all so cool. I mean, if you really take the time to think about what God does, I mean, the story of Esther, she becomes queen because the other queen refuses to do what the king wants, and she becomes the queen, and then Haman wants to kill all the rest of the Jews, and she ends up saving them because she's the queen, and nobody knew that she was a Jew. And my favorite part is that the way that Haman had decided to kill, it gets used against him. God has a sense of humor. If you read through the Old Testament, you see some of the stuff that God does. Man's got a sense of humor. He knows what he's doing. And it just, I get excited about it, and I love talking to the kids about it because it all ties back to Jesus. They're learning how Esther ties to Jesus today. And at the end of every lesson, they also do this awesome thing. They have a memory verse that the kids, they have to work on. And Leah's going to come up, and she's going to share. She's been working on this, this memory verse, and she made up the motions herself. She did this all herself, and we thought that we would show you kind of what goes on.
May the name of God be praised forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. He changes the time and the seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings. Daniel 2:20-21.
I also thought it would be a good idea to bring some volunteers up. So if my three volunteers would come up, I'm going to show you kind of what children's ministry and youth ministry is like from their perspective. But I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, how can you trust what they're saying? They're just going to answer the questions the way that I told them to answer the questions. So I went on Amazon and I found this lovely lie detector test. Now I've tried this out. I tried it on Chris yesterday. He only cried a little bit when it shocked him. So we're going to try our lie detector. All right, it's hooked up. Now, we are going to be able to display the lie detector on the screen. All right, there we go. It is on. As the readout is now working, so we're going to test our lie detector first. So we're going to ask two questions. You must answer true to both of these questions. We're going to test it. Is your name Sarah Cherry?
Yes.
Okay, it is working. Do you believe that IU is better than Purdue?
Yes.
All right. It is working. That is obviously a lie. All right. How long have you been working in children's ministry?
Here, I've been working for about 3 years, a little longer other places.
Why do you find it important to work with the kids here at ECC?
Well, like you said earlier, kids are sponges. They really retain a lot of information. And I think it's crucial when they're younger to tell them God's perspective of why we're here and why we were created. And they're just really a lot of fun to be with.
Are you actually serving in children's ministry because you're actually a child at heart?
Yes.
Okay. What is the most important trait of a children's ministry or youth ministry volunteer?
Well, I have a couple. I think you need to have a lot of energy and a lot of passion for the things that you'll be teaching them and for the kids themselves.
Is it actually the ability to put up with my bad jokes?
Yes.
What would you tell someone who's interested in becoming a children's ministry volunteer?
I say do it, because you don't know it until you are in there with them, that they can really affect your life and you can affect theirs. And it's just important to teach these kids early about God and about the way that he, just all the wonderful things he did and the things that he does now. I say, don't hesitate, just sign up.
Thank you. Let me remove that there. All right, the next victim, I mean volunteer. I get to mess up your hair again. Bald people don't care. All right, again, you must answer the first two questions truthfully. Is it pulling on you again? It doesn't like you. Okay. Is your name Angie Williams?
Yes.
Do you believe a California beach is better than an Indiana snowstorm?
Yes.
Okay, working perfectly. How long have you been working with children's ministry?
I actually started working when I was about 15 or 16. I kind of went under the wing of a wonderful lady who shared her passion of teaching kids and loving Jesus.
In what capacity do you serve now?
Right now, I am the nursery coordinator, director, lady, woman.
Why do you find it important to work with kids?
I think that, we all know that time passes so very quick, and every day just seems shorter than the day before it. And I don't know about you, but a lot of times I wake up in the morning and I think, I let that go. Like, I didn't do what I could have done because, you know, I just didn't think of it. I didn't commit myself. But working with these kids is one thing that we don't want to let go. We want to treasure it. And honestly, starting them as babies, loving to come to church, loving to sing, loving to play, I want it to be a safe and fun environment for the kids and for the parents to feel good about coming in and worship and knowing that their kids are good.
Do you actually think it's important to serve because you're trying to avoid Byron's bad jokes?
I already know all Byron's bad jokes.
What's the most important trait of a nursery worker?
The most important trait is to love kids. If you love kids, then we need you in the nursery. They love to be read to, they love to be held, rocked, wrestled with. I'm kind of a big wrestler with my friend Jaren. But they just need your love.
Is the most important trait actually the... That's a good look for you. important trait actually the ability to change dirty diapers?
Maybe.
Is there anything new and exciting going on in the nursery?
Actually, there is. We've kind of come in and done a little rehab to it. We opened up the space so that there's lots of floor space for those wrestling events. And we've kind of modified the toys so that there's fewer toys but less to clean, so that parents can be assured that every week they're coming in to clean toys. And soon we're going to be doing toddler tunes, where we'll sit on the floor with the kids and they'll have little manipulatives and we'll all sing songs about Jesus.
All right. Thank you. All right. As always, answer the first two questions truthfully. Is your name Brianna Bueller?
Yes.
You would never miss a youth group event to go with family to IKEA.
Yes, I would. One time. One time.
How long have you been working in youth ministry?
I've been working with the youth. I started working over 6 years ago.
In what capacity?
I'm a Bible study leader, a small group. I lead small group discussions. I come to almost every event and help out where needed.
What do you find most important when working with the youth here?
The teens, it's such a unique age where they're really questioning, a lot of times they're questioning what they've learned and they're questioning their place in the world. And so I think it's really important to build relationships with them and connect with them and be a constant in their life, someone that they can go to.
Are you actually serving because you love it when people mistake you for the teen's mom?
Yes, I do love it when they call me mom, but I'm not old enough for that.
What's the most important trait that a youth worker needs?
Most importantly, I would say just a willingness to be there, to invest in their lives, a willingness to consistently come and hang out with them.
Is it actually the ability to put up with having balls thrown at them during scatterball?
Yes, but I do not have that ability.
What would you say to someone who wanted to become a part of the youth ministry here?
I would say come, check it out on Sunday nights. We have a lot of fun, and it's a really cool experience to come and hang out with them and to listen to them and experience them growing, and it's really rewarding.
All right, thank you. Most people at Amazon know what they're selling. That's some good stuff there. So we spend a lot of time working with kids because it's important to us. That's what all three of these ladies said, was that working with kids is extremely important. Now, we train kids. We need to be training these children, not just loving them, but we're also doing some training with them as well. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it." And then Deuteronomy 6 says, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up." You see, we train our kids. And we train our kids when they're around us. You notice what Moses said there. He said, train your kids when you get up with them, when you're eating with them, when you're walking with them, when you're getting ready for bed. That we're training our kids at all times. That we are to be investing in them and to giving them the information that they need at all times. Because kids see who we are. And they learn how to be who they are by looking at us. You know, I've been noticing here lately that I get kind of upset with my son. He'll lose his temper about something, and I'll think to myself, the only reason he's lost his temper about this is because he's seen me do the exact same thing. He's seen me at basketball games almost get kicked out of a basketball game for yelling at a ref. He's seen me reacting to things on TV that I don't like. He's seen me reacting to bad drivers. So every time he does this, you know, where did he learn it? He learned it from watching me because he's around me. Because kids just soak that information up. They soak up who we are. And they're learning because they're with us. You know, a little bit of social studies here. Up till about 200 years ago, almost all education went on in the home. That a boy would stay with his mom until he reached the age where he could then go off and work with dad in whatever job dad was doing. He learned how to be a man by being with his dad and seeing how to do the stuff that his dad did. Girls would grow up in the house and they would learn how to be a woman by spending all of their time with their mothers and seeing what it took to take care of a house. Then came the Industrial Revolution. And with the Industrial Revolution, men and women were off working 10 hours a day. 7 days a week, they didn't have the time to do the things that they needed to do. That's when the public education system that we know today, that's when it started, because they saw a need and they stepped in to fill that need. That's why we do children's ministry and youth ministry here. We see a need. We see the need to come alongside you, to come alongside parents and say, we love your kids and we want to pour into them. We want to help train them and teach them because they are important. That's why we do children's ministry, because we want to help. Parenting is the most difficult job ever. And anybody who ever tells you, I'm a perfect parent, lying through their teeth, okay? One of the things that we're trying to do in training and teaching kids, though, is that we are training disciples. we are training disciples. Now, I don't want a bunch of little mats running around. We don't need any more little mats running around. It's my dad. I'm just saying that because I'm like you. We don't need little mats. We need little Jesuses. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to train disciples. This is what the last words that Jesus says before he goes up to heaven. This is what he says in Matthew chapter 28. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's our goal. We're trying to help raise disciples of Jesus. We are trying to help raise people that are, when problems come up, they're going to lean on Jesus instead of leaning on other things. That's our goal. Our goal is to teach everything that has been taught to us. Our goal is to take what makes Jesus special to us and help others to see that as well. I don't know why I do children's ministry, because Jesus did so much for me. And I want to share that with everyone around me. I want to help them see what he's done. And I want to help them to be, okay, I can see what he's done. Now I want that for myself. That's our goal, is we're trying to raise disciples. Now, we disciple through relationships. The best way to disciple is through relationship. Kids don't care what you know until they know that you care. We can teach kids anything we want. We can teach a kid to pass a test. But are they going to retain the knowledge? If they don't think that I love them, not really. We like to disciple through relationships. And one of the best ways to disciple through a relationship is to sit down and eat with the kid. You know why? Because Jesus ate his way through the Gospels. You read the Gospels, and you will, the number of stories, Jesus sat and ate with this group of people, and then Jesus ate with this group of people, and then Jesus ate with this group of people. And one of the last things Jesus did after his ascension, or after his resurrection, before his ascension, is he's meeting with all the disciples. He's sitting on the shore with them, and he says, "Hey, throw the nets on the other side." They throw the nets on the other side, bring this up. And what do? They come up, and they sit down, and Jesus made breakfast for them. And they sat and had one of the most important conversations. When Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me? Then take care of my sheep. Do you love me? Take care of my lambs. Do you love me? Then take care of them." They had that conversation while they're eating some fish on the shore. I don't know what it is about food that just, it breaks down those walls that we build up. It's awesome to be able to sit down across from somebody and say, "Hey, how's your life doing? This is how my life is doing. Let me talk to you about my cares and concerns. Let me pour into you what God is telling me on your behalf." There's no better way to build that relationship than just sitting down and eating with someone. It's one of my favorite things to do. I love to just sit and talk with people over food, because it just tears down all those barriers. Now, I'm not going to lie, there are some struggles when it comes to youth ministry. There's those things that are like, I don't know if I really want to do youth ministry because this scares me. The first one is, we live in a post-Christian world. What that means is that if we were to do a survey right now and ask people, "What is your religion?" More people would answer that they have no religion than would answer that they are Christians. That brings an interesting change, an interesting dynamic in how we do ministry. Now, these people aren't saying I'm an atheist. What they're saying is, I don't have a religion. I do not have a religion that I click on and say, "Yes, this is me." We call them nuns, N-O-N-E-S, because they have no religion. It's an interesting challenge, because I can remember when I started, I would come up to somebody and say, "Hey, let's talk about, y'all know the story of David and Goliath, let's talk about this." And everybody's like, "Yeah, I know that story, let's go." Now I come into a group and I said, "Hey, y'all know the story of David and Goliath?" And like, "Who's that?" "Yeah, I don't know David and Goliath." "Hey, you remember that time that Jesus did this?" And I'd be like, "Who's Jesus again? I forgot." it just brings an interesting challenge that we have to spend some time going over the beginnings, going over the basics. It can be a little bit of a challenge. It's brought some interesting challenges in that kids that have not grown up in the church don't know how you're supposed to act while you're in church. I can remember a few years ago at youth group, I had a kid come to youth group high. He didn't realize that it was a bad thing for him to come to youth group high. I had to talk to him and said, hey, I love you and I want you here, but do me a favor. Don't smoke before you come, okay? Don't smoke before you come. We'll work on the rest of that. But I need you sober so that I can talk to you about the rest of this stuff. So we'll work on the rest of this stuff. A couple weeks later, we're sitting in youth group. Jennifer and I are talking to this kid, and he invited both of us to, after youth group, go out and smoke a joint with him. In youth group, he's inviting the youth minister to go smoke with him. And God intervened in my head because I was like, are you kidding me? But God intervened in my head and he said, this kid does not know any better. He doesn't know that that's not appropriate to talk about in church. That's his life. He's inviting you to be a part of his life. So I just said, that's not for us, man. You know, we're going to work on the rest of this later. I just need you to understand that's not for us. And we're going to work on getting you to this point. 2 days later, I got the opportunity to visit him in the emergency room because he took a whole box of cough medicine because I thought it'd be fun. Now, if I'd have come down on him like a ton of bricks and said, are you kidding me? You want to invite me to go do that? You sinner, you're a horrible person. 2 days later, I wouldn't have been able to come sit with him in the emergency room. Now, I'm not saying this is about me. God is the one that told me to do it, okay? Because I wanted to be like, are you kidding me? We do this stuff because kids today just don't, a lot of them just don't know. And that brings some challenges. Another challenge that we face is that today, kids speak a different language. They speak a completely different language. And you know what? Your parents said the same thing about you, and they're going to say the same thing about their kids. We all speak different languages. But you know the one language that we all speak is love. I was at CIY a couple years ago, and there was this older woman. She must have been in her 40s. And she was sitting there, and she had never used Snapchat a day in her life. And she sat there for 20 minutes and let these kids set up her Snapchat account and talk her through how to use it and how to do it. And I can remember she said, I sent my first snap, and they just had this awesome conversation. She's probably never used Snapchat again. But for that 20 minutes, those kids didn't care that she didn't speak their language. She loved them enough to let them teach her their language because she spoke the language of love and learned their language. I guarantee you, you start working with kids, they're going to say things you don't understand. Urban Dictionary is amazing, okay? So when they start using words you've never heard about before, it's urbandictionary.com. You can put them in there. They will tell you the definition of words. Well, this is an amazing thing. You can just ask them what they're talking about, and they're going to tell you because you love them enough to pour into them and ask them a question. It's amazing. And kids today, they're just distracted. And I'm not even talking about social media. Social media, yeah, it's a distraction. That's a whole other sermon that I can preach on social media. I'm not saying social media is bad. I do it all, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all that stuff. I'm not a twit, though, a tweet. I don't do that stuff. A little birdie drives me nuts. But I'm not saying social media is bad. But we have so many things that distract us from church. Now, this is what the writer of Hebrews says. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into his presence, the presence of God, with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is coming near. We let things distract us from church way too much. Now, I am not saying baseball is bad. I'm not saying football is bad. I am not saying band is bad. I am not saying show choir is bad. You did not hear those words come out of my mouth. Those things are what I like to call amoral. They have no morality. Money is amoral. Money has no morality. We use money in the church to do some awesome and amazing things, to pay for the meals that we eat with kids, to pay for all the technology that we use here, to pay to keep the lights on, to pay for this building. We use money for some great things. Money can do good things. But the love of money is the root of all evil. Money can do some bad things. Is money the problem? No, money's not the problem. It's how we choose to use it. We let things come in and distract us from coming together in church. Now, before you think, oh, Matt's just trying to pad his numbers, I don't count attendance on Sunday night. I don't do it. I know who's there and I know who's not there, and I reach out to some people and say, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. Is there something going on? I don't count. I couldn't tell you how many kids were at church last Sunday. I won't count tonight. I just know I'm missing some faces. Why do I think it's important for us to come together in church? Because we can't pour into each other. We can't do this discipleship. We can't do this relationship. We can't do all this if we're not together. It can't be done. Why will I always... I protect Sundays like crazy. I'm not going to let something distract from the ability to come together as a body of believers and to grow with each other. Kids today are just distracted. There's too many things that pop up and keep them from coming together and worshiping. So what's the point of all this? Let's wrap this up with why we do children's ministry, why we do youth ministry. We do these things because those of us that do it, we love Jesus so much that we can't help but pouring that into other people. And for them to come on and to join us as becoming brothers and sisters of Christ. We want to make those disciples. Jesus has done so much for us. Now you're sitting there thinking, that's great, but what can I do? We have some things that you can do. Funny you would ask that. The first thing that you can do is that you can pray. You can pray for our kids. They've got some stuff going on. You don't talk about speaking a different language. When I was in school, I never had to worry about a school shooting. Kids today have to worry about it all the time. Kids today need prayer. All the stuff that's going on, they just need prayer. Love them and pray for them. We have some things coming up in the near future that can definitely use some prayer. Chris, there you go. We have a few things coming up. We have CIY Believe. That's for middle schoolers. It's a weekend thing. It's a Saturday, Sunday. We're going to go to Anderson. It's designed for middle schoolers. We need some prayer because we're going to have some kids going to that, and they're going to be built in. We also, the adults need some prayer because I have to spend like 48 hours with a group of kids. That's April 7th and 8th. That's the week after Easter. Graduation Sunday is coming up. It's going to be May 20th. We're going to bring our college and high school graduates up here. We're going to talk about their plans, and we're going to spend some time praying for them. They could use prayer now, okay? Vacation Bible School, we're going to do it this summer. It's going to be June 4th through the 8th. And it's a mistake. It says 6 to 8. It's actually 6 to 8:30. I forgot that I suggested it be 6 to 8:30. We're going to do it in the evening. I think we can get some more volunteers. We can really do this and do it well. Those of you that are like, no, we need to do this in the daytime, we're going to try this out. We're going to see how it works in the evening. If it goes over like a lead balloon next year, we'll do it in the morning, okay? We're going to try this out, and we're going to see how it works. And then we have high school CIY, CIY Move. That's June 17th through the 21st. That's a week where we're going to take the kids to CIY. They just get poured into. These are all things that you can be praying about. We have another event coming up. It's the Easter egg hunt. That's going to be the 31st, March 31st. It's the day before Easter. It's a Saturday. You can come here. There's some details in the bulletin about this. Also, on your way out, you might have noticed there's a poster board out there with some post-it notes on it. If you're like, hey, I want to help out, I want to get some stuff for it, You take the post-it note that says what you need to get, and underneath there you sign that you took the post-it note. That just gives us, we know who volunteered to bring it so that if we don't get it, we can check in and say, hey, did you forget? Because if you're like me, you're going to take the post-it note, put it in your wallet, and forget that you put it in your wallet. So, you know, if you just want to get some stuff, if you want to help out and volunteer, let Jennifer or myself know. We would love to have you. Another thing that you guys can do, you can volunteer. So if you want to help out with the Easter egg hunt, if you want to help out with children's ministry, if you want to help out in the nursery, you want to help out with youth ministry, let us know. If you want to help out in the nursery, let Angie know. She'll get you signed up. She'll find a place. She'll show you what you're doing. Everything is going to be awesome. You want to work in children's ministry or youth ministry, let me know. I'll find a place to put you. It's not scary, okay? All you got to do is come hang out with kids. That's all you got to do. And if that's scary, it's not scary, okay? I do it all the time. Maybe that's why I'm crazy. So just come, volunteer. Let us know. We'll put you someplace. And the last thing is, come do it. You know, show up at an event. Come help out. We would love to have you. We'd love to have you stay tonight for the afterwards for the chili cook-off we're going to do. We got a couple judges that are going to go around and judge the chili, Charlie Wida, myself, and Rob. And we've all agreed that you can pay off the judges, and a portion of that will go into CIY fund. So we've all agreed on that. There are lots of opportunities for you to take the joy that God has put in your heart and to pour that into others. The most important, you don't even have to tell me about. It doesn't have to be a part of church. You got some kid living next door to you that needs the love of Jesus poured into him, go do it. I'm giving you permission to go talk to them about Jesus and go pour into them. I don't even have to know about it. Just go pour into them. Meet them after the bus after school. Hey, how was your day? What was going on? Hey, I baked some cookies. Would you like a cookie? Let me pour Jesus into you. You have that opportunity. You have that ability. Because we do children's ministry and we do youth ministry because we love Jesus. And because of that, we love kids. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for the fact that you love us and that you have done so much for us. We don't deserve what you've done, but you've done it. We just pray that you be with us as we leave here and we take this, you know, why did I do what I did? Because I love Jesus and I want to share that love with others around me. And we just thank you for the opportunities that we have to serve. Just pray that you give us the strength to overcome the fears and struggles and to just go out and do it because kids are important. And we thank you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.